Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. Chris was a reporter for the Washington Post. Like most reporters, he's always looking for something to write about. And it turned out that there was a survey and some studies that had been done that looked at the best and worst places to live in the United States. So there they were. It was all compiled in spreadsheet after spreadsheet. It looked at things like economic viability, the weather, how happy are people, what's their income, what's the availability of health care. All of the parameters were all measured and laid out statistically, and in the end they came up with the best and worst places to live. So he wrote his article for the Washington Post. It was easy to talk about all the best places to live, but he decided, I'm going to include the name of what he quoted, this is a quote, the absolute worst place in America to live. Red Lake County, Minnesota. Absolutely the worst place to live. A kind of dry bones valley whose economic and spiritual life just seemed to be nothing. No one would want to live there, he said. So the article was published at about 4:30 in the afternoon. At 4:37, the email started. Apparently, every single person in Red Lake County, Minnesota, began to write him and saying, well, what are you talking about? Have you ever been here? Do you have any idea what you're talking about? He found himself completely inundated. What do you mean this is the worst place in the United States to live? So they invited him to visit. And he did. So he flew out to Red Lake County, Minnesota, and he got into his car and he drove into this small little town of Red Lake, and there they drove up in front of the city center, well, the town hall. And there was the entire town. And a marching band. With pom-poms and flags, and they greeted him, beautiful smiles on their faces, and the band played and the pom-poms went. And they showed him what it was like to be in Red Lake. He was astonished. He found that, like often happens to all of us, his eyes began to be unwrapped from the bindings that had been put on them by cold, simple statistics. He ate with them, laughed with them, saw the beauty of the sunset over the prairie, and oh my gosh, his life was changed. Not by anything other than the smiling faces, enthusiasm, and love of the people in this dry bones place called Red Lake County. Chris found himself unbound. New life breathed into him and how he understood Red Lake. In the same kind of way as what happens to our story in Lazarus. It's a wonderful story about life and death. It's an ironic and rather long story, and I hope it's the last super long reading from John that we have for a while. But Lazarus, Jesus' friend, dies, and that's an amazing thing. And when he dies, they bind him up and they lay him in the tomb, and it's wonderful when he comes to life. But the really important moment happens when he comes out from that tomb, from that cave, that stenchy cave, and Jesus says to the very people who doubted him, who cheered him on, who loved him, who were afraid, unbind him. He invites those very people, the mourners and lovers and friends and sisters, to walk forward and begin to unwrap Lazarus' eyes. Can you imagine what that must have been like for them? To see God's spirit, God's ruach breathed into this dead man and he comes alive. But put yourself in the place of Lazarus. Can you imagine having your head unwrapped and your eyes opened to see again your beloved sister, your friends, and Jesus? Like those around Lazarus, we too are invited to unbind the world. Dry bones are needing to be brought back to life. Have you thought, what is binding us these days? How have we become desiccated and dry like that? I should have probably kept it like that awful palm leaf. Every day we encounter people who have lost hope through death or illness. I think more than any time in my life, people seem more afraid of the future than ever before. Uncertain about what lies in store ahead. Dry bones seem to be laying all around us, and yet Jesus invites us to breathe God's Spirit into them. Where hunger and hopelessness bind us, God calls us to unbind. Where we see hopelessness in our world and danger, and we look at things like the south of Sudan and the Congo, or even places in our own nation where hunger and poverty rule, God invites us to unbind. To be healers and bringers of hope. Not for our own sake, but because life will out. Because God's message of peace and joy is one of life that unbinds a world that finds itself in such need of freedom. I think through us, through you, and through the proclamation of God's word, we prophesy to the bones, and God's Spirit blows deeply and fully, putting sinew and flesh where there is only darkness and hunger. Maybe we need to see beyond mere statistics, to see the life that lies beneath. There is breath for us as well. God knows that the landscape is riddled with statistical boneyards, much like Red Lake, communities and countries that are starving to death for food and for love, looking to take on flesh and breath. And that is the gift that God gives us to give. As we share ourselves and our money and our time and our hope and the grace-filled word of God's peace, bone upon bone, sinew upon sinew, flesh upon flesh, breath upon breath, and new life. So Chris came home from his trip to Red Lake, Minnesota, where he was treated to old-fashioned Midwest potlucks, probably there were some Lutherans there, it being Minnesota. So I'm fairly sure there was probably green jello. And if it was Sunday, some carrots in it. And he went home and he began to look at his life. They lived in a suburb outside of Washington, D.C., and he looked at the high cost of living and the long commute and all of those kinds of things. And yes, he and his wife sold their house and moved to Red Lake County, Minnesota. Not because it was any better statistically than it had been just a few weeks before or a few months before, but because he had found the breath of life breathed into him in love and joy and laughter of a community who had loved him despite his writing. And so there he lives in Red Lake, Minnesota, with his family. And he still worked for the Washington Post, and he still writes each week and telecommutes his way into Washington, D.C. But he finds he has more time to hang out with pig farmers, cattlemen, the hairdresser, and the children. And he finds that the Ruach has come into his life in a new and powerful way. So Red Lake, Minnesota, may from the cold light of statistics be the worst place in America to live, except for all the people. And in the same way, in the midst of this dire and boneyard world, all may be seen dry and dangerous, except for you, God's gift, God's Ruach. Amen.